5 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. And yes, I am I'm live from the old basement today. So kind of lounging around, just doing radio. You can't beat it. Joining me now on our First Advantage hotline, Bodie Hume of the UNC Bears men's basketball team. Bodie, my friend, you staying safe out there today?
I am. Basically at the home all day today.
You can't beat it, man. I brought home the equipment last night thinking this was going to happen. This is the first time I've ever done the show like this. So, yeah, we're making some radio history today.
Absolutely.
Bodie, what a comeback from you guys on Monday, trying to close that thing out, to end up losing to Portland State 79-76. First off, I know everything makes everything a little bit better when you can go out and have some great food at Cables. I know you went to Cables on Saturday. What'd you order? I know you were talking with the owners there.
Yeah, I did. I tried the calzone. It was really, really good, and it was a lot of fun, a lot of experience. See, everyone that went knew each other, and it was actually really cool.
Cables, pub, and grill, and that was what Sean had joked about. He's like, I know Bodie loves the pub mac and cheese and the spaghetti, but we got to branch out, man. We got to try some new stuff. So it sounds like you were doing that, so good for you.
Yep, exactly.
Love Cables, appreciate them. We will give you some opportunities throughout the program, too, to give folks can win some gift cards. Do we have $20 gift certificates?
There you go.
For Cables as well, so you can't beat that. Bodie, my friend, the good news about this, the way the scheduling worked out with the Portland State matchup, you guys get a chance to go right back at it with this team tomorrow night.
Absolutely. We're very excited for that. It's something that we've been looking forward to since we lost, honestly, and it's just something that we're ready to capitalize on.
And it was one of those games. I mean, this was an interesting one because you looked at the Weber State game, and the first half you guys were absolutely rocking and rolling. And then, as we talked about, the second half was what it was. Weber State gets the win. This was kind of the opposite of that. You guys started off with 30 points in the first half to Portland State's 51, but then you come roaring back and made this thing, tied it up at one point, too. Like we said, didn't quite get over that hump to complete it, but this was kind of similar to the Weber State game, just kind of reversed.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think there was a lot of similarities in the bad halves and the good halves. For us, we just dug ourselves in a hole way too early in the game and couldn't get ourselves out of it. I think if we just have a little bit better half in the first half, we end up winning that game. And it's tough, but it happens, and you just kind of got to capitalize on it for the next time.
Yeah, looking forward, as we talked about, you got Portland State tomorrow night. A lot of basketball coming up for you guys, though, assuming, of course, we're keeping our eyes on scheduling and such. But Portland State tomorrow night, Northern Arizona on Saturday, and then Northern Arizona again on Monday. This is starting to feel like last year when you guys would play the teams back-to-back. Do you like that side of it? Do you like being able to see the same team, like, pretty much two nights later?
Yes and no. I think there's positives and negatives. The positive is you do get to play them back-to-back and just kind of get it out of the way. And you, it's fresh in your mind, like who you're guarding and who you're playing, instead of having to go from different team to different team saying, oh, this guy can shoot, but the guy we're playing on Saturday can't, you know. And that's for matchups, it's definitely a lot easier. I think the negative side of it is they get to go against you twice, and they get to see your offensive scheme and just kind of plan accordingly a lot quicker, and it's fresh in their minds as well.
After going back and watching the film of that loss to Portland State, what stood out to you? What were they doing in that first half that really had you guys, you know, kind of discombobulated? Because obviously at halftime you make adjustments. You came rocking and rolling out of that second half. So talk to us about what they were doing that first half and what changed in the second.
Yeah, so truthfully, we didn't change our game plan at all going into the second half. The coaches were very very adamant on the game plan we had, and it was a great game plan, and we had to just play better. So the first half compared to the second half, it was definitely a player standpoint. We wanted pride, and we wanted to be able to play well and not get blown out by 30 against Portland State at Portland State. So it was on us, and the coaches did a great job calling plays and helping us out on defense, but we just shot ourselves in the foot on the court, and that's what ultimately hurt us a lot.
Yeah, so it was more or less, you look at it and say it was execution at that side. You know, the game plan was fine, the blueprint was there, and then in the second half, you guys just started executing.
Absolutely. We started playing more aggressive, we started playing with more heart, more ability to want to win.
Is it? I mean, how does the process work? The game plan for Portland State on Monday night, is it essentially? Is it just a copy and paste for tomorrow night? Is that, or are you guys tweaking a few things? Is it a different approach because of the way that things went down on Monday?
Definitely have a couple things we're going to work on offensively and defensively. We have a Zoom coming up in order to find out what we can do offensively and defensively to help us win the game. We're going to tweak a few things, but not necessarily change our whole game plan. We're a good team, and we stick to what we know, and that's what we're going to do. And ultimately, it's going to help us win these games.
Talk to us about your teammate, Daitlin Kuntz. He had one of those games, again, Bodie, where he was just kind of unstoppable in that Portland State game. 30 points for him. And I'm always amazed when he has the ball so much, too. Only 3 turnovers, but 30 points for Daitlin Kuntz. He does continue to put up big numbers.
Yeah, he's playing absolutely nuts with the ball right now. He's been great for us all year. I mean, he's leading the Big Sky in scoring for us, which is huge. And it's really fun to watch him go. It seems like no one can stop him from getting on his left hand, which it blows my mind. You know, like, we scout guys for days upon days and say, like, oh, don't force him left. So obviously teams do the same thing, and he still gets to the rim every time he wants to go left. So it's really something incredible to see.
Yeah, no question. I mean, again, when you guys are all clicking like that, when he's penetrating and he's getting those points, that's opening up, as we've talked about on this show several times, the three-pointers on this team. So when you guys can get that recipe rolling, I've said it on the show several times, you guys can hang with almost anybody out there when you get that perfect recipe, when everything's clicking how you guys want it to.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think when we have the opportunities to knock down open shots and Daitlin are driving and Matt driving to the rim and kicking out or scoring and finishing it with Core underneath the rim as well, it just helps everything run so much more smoothly. And ultimately, it causes us to be so much better. I mean, you've seen it in examples with Arizona and CSU and Southern Utah and even the first half of Weber State.
We're talking to Bodie Hume of the UNC Bears. We get together with Bodie every single week, thanks in part to First Advantage. I'm meeting up with those guys, Matt and Jeff, coming up on Friday. I absolutely love those guys. First Advantage, I tell you what, they are diehard Bears fans. They support this program through thick and thin, and I know they've supported you through thick and thin. So for you, I mean, I know personally it's great to have just their backing behind you all these years.
Oh, absolutely. I couldn't ask for better fans and better support from a lot of the community in Greeley, Colorado.
All right, last one for you, Bodie. Looking at the conference now, it's been interesting for you guys. As we said, a couple of strange losses, but then you had the Idaho State game again postponed, so you still have that going on with COVID protocols and such. How do you view where you guys are right now? Sitting at a 500 record overall, 5-3 in the conference, kind of you're in the upper portion for sure, kind of middle of the standings at this stage. Do you look at this and say, man, I really feel our best basketball is in front of us as we get down maybe this last stretch of games?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's been preached to us as well. As like, we know that we have to be playing our best basketball going into the tournament. That's the most important part for us. So really we lost our way a little bit and we ended up finding it together, and it should be a lot of fun ending this season, being able to just, you know, go out there and play our best and know that we really got nothing to lose. So it's really what we can do.
I'm looking forward to it. We're looking forward to, again, tomorrow night as well. Be careful out there. If you have to get out and about, stay safe, my friend Bodie. Always love following this program. Love catching up with you each and every week.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me on.
All right, my man. Well, we'll meet up at Cables next week. Sound good to you?
All right, sounds great.
All right, my man. Be safe. We'll talk to you soon. That was Bodie Hume of the UNC Bears, and the Bears looking to bounce back right now. They've got Portland State again at home. Then, as we said on Saturday, they're at Northern Arizona, turned back around for a Monday game, and then again a Thursday game, I think. Is that right? Yeah, Wednesday, right? Or Thursday, I don't know. They're going to be playing a game every other night or every 2 nights from this point on. So you're going to get your UNC Bears fix, and we'll see if they can string together some wins. Looking at the standings right now, Weber State running the table, sitting at 10-1 in the conference. You got Montana State and Montana and Southern Utah all with 2 losses apiece. They're trying to make their moves as well. UNC is very much still in the thick of it. Only 2 games behind Weber State. They do have a chance to play Weber State again on the road on February 19th, which we all know how difficult of a place that is for the Bears to win. But still, very much in front of them. This was a bummer of a week, you know, if we want to talk about basketball. Basketball has been so positive up here. But you have, you know, UNC losing two games in a row to Weber State and Portland State over the beginning of this week and last week. You have the CSU Rams losing to UNLV and Wyoming in that border war the other night. So that was rough. The Nuggets absolutely get annihilated by Minnesota. The Buffs scored like 5 points on Sunday night, 43 points. So as good as basketball has been in the area, as much as we've had fun covering all the positives surrounding it, last week kind of knocked all of the area teams that we cover on this program around a little bit. So can we get a bounce back? Can we start with that tomorrow? Time will tell, I suppose. The Nuggets are at it tonight, back-to-back. They're going up against Utah. So maybe getting smoked and letting Nikola Jokic rest for a little bit was a good thing. So the Nuggets back at it tonight. Portland State, UNC tomorrow. CU and Oregon tomorrow as well. CU did beat Oregon last time around, but, man, they looked really rough on Sunday night. And, of course, CSU and San Diego State going at it on Friday. So a lot of basketball still to come throughout the season. So don't panic just yet. I do feel like the goals for all of those teams are still very much in front of them. CU, again, going to be a harder road as far as getting into March Madness than I think the rest of the programs we talk about. But I guess that's what we're here for. We're going to see what happens. 16 minutes after the hour, shout out to On the Rocks Liquor for being one of our great sponsors. They do our game beer of the week. They're celebrating their 11th year in business, and we couldn't be happier working with them. We'll take a short break on the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. This is Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1. And 1310 KFKA.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary is coming up at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. We'll be hopefully back in the studio tomorrow, but for now, hanging out in my basement, in my little home office here. So, you know what? It's kind of relaxing. I may never go back, so I may never see you again, Michael. Just throwing it out there. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Our Method Flow products poll question is more or less about, it's Josh McDaniels. Do you think he's going to be successful with the Raiders? I actually do, and I do think that this AFC West just got better. It's already difficult. It's already tough with the Kansas City Chiefs, and we know that the Chargers are going to be in the thick of things for a while with Justin Herbert. And I actually think Josh McDaniels was a case of too much too fast. So that's our poll question. Go to thewholeshow.com and vote. 66% of the hooligans are saying yes. They do think he's going to be successful with the Raiders. So, you're just as concerned as I am, I suppose. Here's the big story, guys. Brian Flores, former Miami Dolphins coach, has sued the NFL and three teams, the Dolphins, the Giants, and the Denver Broncos. He's alleging discrimination regarding his interview process with Denver and New York and his firing last month by Miami. It's a 58-page lawsuit. I think I said 28. I got so many numbers in my head talking about the recruits, talking about transfers and all that, but this is the number. 58-page lawsuit was filed in Manhattan federal court Tuesday and seeks class action status. Let's get to the Dolphins stuff first. Flores alleges that Dolphins owner Stephen Ross attempted to incentivize him to tank or purposely lose games shortly after he was hired in 2019, with Ross allegedly offering Flores $100,000 for every loss that season. Was that the Vic Fangio plan with the Broncos then? $100,000? Flores says that as the team won games late in the season, Dolphins general manager Chris Greer told him Ross was mad that the on-field success was compromising the team's draft position. How about that? Additionally, Flores alleges that Ross pressured him into recruiting a prominent quarterback. Who was that quarterback, I wonder? Was that the Deshaun Watson side? Was that what it was? 2019? Who would that have been? Would that have been Deshaun Watson? Would that have been Tom Brady? I'm just trying to go back to the quarterbacks that were available at that point. Coach Flores said he refused so as not to violate the NFL's tampering rules. Ross then allegedly invited Flores onto a yacht for lunch in the winter of 2020, where he informed him that the quarterback was conveniently arriving at the marina for an impromptu meeting. So was that Deshaun Watson? Is that what we're believing at this stage? Flores refused the meeting and left the yacht. Afterward, Flores alleges he was treated with disdain and held out as someone who was noncompliant and difficult to work with. He was fired January 10th despite recording the Dolphins' first back-to-back winning seasons since 2003. They were 10-6 in 2020, 9-8 in 2021. I mean, this is a big story, folks. This is a big story. He alleged, now here's what, this is interesting with Bill Belichick, too. I want to get to that in a moment. Flores also alleged that Giants interviewed him last month for their head coaching vacancy for no other reason than compliance with the NFL Rooney Rule, which requires teams to interview minority candidates for their open positions, as we kind of followed along with this story. The lawsuit is surrounding Bill Belichick as well. I mean, not a lawsuit against Bill Belichick, but it surrounds some texts. Get this one. Flores said he spoke with the Giants via Zoom on January 18th, prior to the team hiring former Buffalo Bills assistant general manager as its GM on January 23rd. There was a finalized date to interview Flores for January 27th, and then Giants co-director of player personnel Tim McDonald texted Flores saying he hoped he would come in and win the blanking job. Hours later, Flores' lawsuit alleges that he received a series of text messages from Patriots coach Bill Belichick, under whom Flores worked for 10 years, that basically the text said, Buffalo and New York say that he heard from Buffalo and New York that you are their guy. Flores texts back and says, hey, what do you mean? Clarifying, are you talking about me or Brian Daboll, who was also in the running? Bill Belichick said, sorry, I effed this up. I double-checked and misread the text. I think they're naming Brian Daboll. Sorry about that. Belichick allegedly text. We've all been there before. You think you text with somebody else and you say something else about it. Flores alleged that is, and again, this is all the ESPN story. That is a January 27th interview with the Giants, which satisfied the Rooney Rule because he was the first minority candidate to interview in person. So there's that side of it. Here's where things get interesting for us locally. He alleged a similar scenario occurred when he interviewed with the Broncos for their head coaching job in 2019. Basically saying that John Elway, among others, arrived to the interview an hour late and hungover, alleging that they had been drinking heavily the night before. So the Giants, Dolphins, and the Broncos have responded separately to the allegations. Here's I've got a few things pulled up here. I've got to find it. The Broncos have put out a statement per Troy Rank from Denver 7. The allegations from Brian Flores directed toward the Denver Broncos in today's court filing are blatantly false. Our interview with Mr. Flores regarding our head coaching position began promptly at the scheduled time of 7:30 a.m. on January 5th, 2019 in a Providence, Rhode Island hotel. There were five Broncos executives present for the interview, which lasted approximately 3.5 hours, the fully allotted time, and concluded shortly before 11 a.m. Pages of detailed notes, analysis, and evaluations from our interview demonstrate the depth of our conversation and sincere interest in Mr. Flores as a head coach candidate. Our process was thorough and fair to determine the most qualified candidate for the head coaching position. The Broncos will vigorously defend the integrity and values of our organization and its employees from such baseless and disparaging claims. Here's something from Lionel Bienvenu. I can never say his name correctly. He tweeted out, the Broncos saved a quote, essentially, from Flores after the interview. On November 18th, 2020, here's the quote, apparently from Brian Flores. Quote, I remember it vividly, referring to the interview he had with the Broncos. Obviously, President of Football Operations General Manager John Elway was there. President and CEO Joe Ellis was there. Patrick Smythe was there. And Mark Hughes and my good buddy, Vice President of Player Personnel, Matt Russell. I know him personally from our days in New England in the personnel department. It was just great for me doing my own background work and learning more about the Denver Broncos and their history, the Bolin family and the great history that they have there as an organization. I was excited to interview with them. I thought it went well. It was great to meet the executives there and spend some time with them. I think Vic is a great coach. They got the right coach and the right people in place. It's a talented team, that's for sure. It was a good experience for me personally. Those of you saying, well, that's just PR, that's just him being nice. Okay, well, which one is it? Is that, would you call that a lie then? If what he's alleging now, that the interview was unorganized, that they were disheveled, they'd clearly been out drinking, does not add up with this quote here. Now, again, a lot of people saying, well, that's just the coach speak. What was he going to say? He didn't have to go out of his way to say that it was that great. And my good buddy, Matt Russell, like those kind of things are interesting to me. And then the fact that the Broncos do come out with this message that's just, because I always say this, if it's not a direct no or yes, there's probably some truth to whatever's being alleged about you. The Broncos are coming out hard and fast saying that they didn't do any of that. None of that is true, that they arrived promptly. They didn't talk about the hungover thing, but they were, according to the lawsuit, the Broncos were an hour late. According to the Broncos, not the case. This is interesting, man. This is very interesting. He said, Chris Brady, I appreciate your professionalism into the UNC football issue. Hey, man, thank you. That's very nice of you. After Fandango hire, Flores apparently said the interview was good. Right. That's what's interesting. Well, and then the lawsuit goes on, and it says that shortly thereafter, the Broncos hired Vic Fangio, a white man, was hired to be the head coach of the Broncos. And again, I just think it's worth pointing out, if you follow the Broncos at all, before Vic Fangio, Vance Joseph was the head football coach for this team, a black man. That's so, and Vance was bad. He was bad. Vic was bad. That's the part that again does lean into the Broncos' favor. The coach before the coach that they were replacing, the coach that Flores and Vic Fangio could potentially replace, was a black man. So that sentence, shortly thereafter, Vic Fangio, a white man, was hired to be the head coach of the Broncos. I mean, they literally were replacing a black man as the head coach. So, listen, I don't know how far this is going to go. I think the tanking thing, the $100,000 for tanking and all that stuff, is absolutely mind-blowing. The Dolphins thing has seemed weird. Flores has seemed interesting, though, and in the way he treated his quarterback. That was kind of a weird deal, you know, and the Deshaun Watson thing, it seemed like he was the one who's wanting. I'm curious as to who the quarterback was that Stephen Ross was wanting. And then again, Flores is saying, hey, I wanted to avoid tampering rules. Well, I'll tell you what, I don't see him getting a job anytime soon. Is this true? It could potentially be very true. All I'm saying is on the Broncos side of things, it doesn't quite sync up. The Broncos are saying that they arrived promptly at 7:30. There's probably ways we can prove that. And if that's a lie, that they were an hour late, or that the Broncos were lying, that they were on time, okay, we can get to the bottom of that one pretty quickly, can't we? I'm sure there's witnesses. As far as what time did that interview start? Maybe, maybe not. I'm sure there's a way to prove that. So that's where you start. And if the Broncos were on time, then you already look at the lawsuit and say, well, you're lying about that. Well, and Brian Flores did say again that the interview went great with the Broncos. And then he said they got the right coach and the right people in place. He didn't have to say that. Some of you are just saying that that's coach speak. That's just him being politically correct. He didn't have to add in all of that. He could have just flat out say, here's who I interviewed with. I thought it was good, and just left it alone. But he elaborated. He talked about diving into the history. I thought it went well, he said. It was great to meet the executives there and spend some time with them. I think Vic is a great coach. They got the right coach and the right people in place. He didn't need to say that. Brady, he's saying it because, you know, he's still interviewing for a job. And if he says positive things after not getting an interview, okay, that's going to bode well for him. Boy. I'm not saying it's not true. I'm just saying that with the Broncos, it does seem a little bit fishy as far as the timing of all of this. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. The Broncos say they have pages of detailed notes, analysis, and evaluations from their interview that demonstrate the depth in their conversation and sincere interest in Mr. Flores as a head coaching candidate. What helps the Broncos in this situation is the fact that Vance Joseph was the head coach just before Vic Fangio. So it's really hard to say that the Broncos didn't hire Flores because he was black. Like, that was the decision. That seems false, considering their coach just before was Vance Joseph, that John Elway and Gary Kubiak were both excited about when they made that hire. Did Elway want, you know, after Vance, he wanted Mike Shanahan. That was, I mean, but Joe Ellis didn't want that because that was obviously Pat Bowlen had moved on from Shanahan. But that's what does help the Broncos in this situation a little bit, at least, is the fact that Vance Joseph was the head coach. Now, can they got to prove, if they can prove that they were on time, then the lawsuit is already kind of out of whack. Because again, here's the portion about the Broncos. In 2019, Mr. Flores was scheduled to interview with the Broncos. However, the Broncos' then-general manager, John Elway, and Joe Ellis and others. So again, others, it's interesting because Flores went out of his way to say his good buddy, Matt Russell. And then this, in the lawsuit, suddenly it's others. Is that weird to anybody else? Read between the lines a little bit here. Showed up an hour late to the interview. They looked completely disheveled. And it was obvious they had... And again, this isn't even edited. It's supposed to be they had been drinking. They had drinking heavily the night before. I don't know. Semantics, details, whatever. It was clear from the substance of the interview that Mr. Flores was interviewed only because of the Rooney Rule and that the Broncos never had any intentions to consider him as a legitimate candidate for the job. Shortly thereafter, Vic Fangio, a white man, was hired. Boy. Here's a bullet point number 22 that came after the Broncos portion. Having discovered what the Giants and the rest of the NFL had hoped to keep in the dark, Mr. Flores now brings this class action complaint to shine a light on the racial injustices that take place inside the NFL and to create a real change for the future. I'm not sitting here today telling you that there's not racism in the NFL. I'm not sitting here telling you in any way that there are certain guys in the league that maybe they have certain hiring, they have hiring preferences. That could be the case. I'm not here to deny any of that. My job is to look at the story. I'm looking at the lawsuit. I'm looking at what he's alleging. And I do think it's a little interesting that we're saying that the Broncos had no interest in Mr. Flores. Now, I'm not reading anywhere necessarily that the Broncos were racist, you know, that they just didn't take it seriously. Well, they might not have. They could have interviewed Flores. That they could have done that to fulfill the Rooney Rule and not taken it seriously. I don't know that, but for this to somehow in a roundabout way come back and say the Broncos were racist in this situation is tough because again, Vance Joseph was your head coach just the year before. That was the guy you were replacing who was awful as a head coach, and so was Vic Fangio. Which was worse? I don't know. Probably Vic. So more is going to come out on this story. But right now it does seem like, again, if you can go back and confirm that you weren't an hour late, you already poke a pretty big hole into the Broncos portion of it. Now, as for the Dolphins, I have no idea. The Dolphins have come out and said that that's not true. The Giants have come out and said that their process was fair. Brian Flores told ESPN that trust was lost with the Dolphins after $100,000 per loss tanking offer from the owner. He went on, he elaborated about everything. He said, that was a conversation about not doing as much as we needed to in order to win football games. Flores said Wednesday in an interview with ESPN's Get Up. Take a flight, go on vacation, I'll give you $100,000 per loss. Those were his exact words. Ideal in truth, I tell the players this as well. I'm going to give you good news, bad news, but it's going to be honest. Flores went on to say, to disrespect the game like that, trust was lost. And there were certainly some strained relationships. And ultimately, I think that was my demise in Miami. Interesting stuff. 38 minutes after the hour. We're well due for a break here. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado. And you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
43 minutes after the hour. This is the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Don't forget, we're going to have the good afternoon guy, Brian Gary. Obviously, he's ready to rock and roll at 3 o'clock. He'll be keeping you up to speed with the latest on the weather, any kind of cancellations or postponements. I did get that Pooter School District. I want to make sure I have this exactly right here. The Pooter School District would be on a two-hour delay tomorrow. So that's what we got so far. But a two-hour delay, 2 hours later than normal for Thursday, tomorrow, due to inclement weather. So that's what we know right now. I'm sure Brian will have some more updates for us, or what the weather's going to be supposed to do throughout the course of the evening and tomorrow as well. Interesting show today, guys. It really was. I mean, we started it off with UNC Athletic Director Darren Dunn and UNC Head Football Coach Ed McCaffrey. And, you know, we're as people know this, we're the voice of the Bears. So we are in an interesting spot here. We want to get the news out. We want to be able to research this. Tanner Schwint of NoCo Now, we have talked to some of the players. I've talked to a couple of players now, a handful of players, that are on their way out. They're either transferring or they're just not going to play. A couple of different players that we've had discussions with, and again, it's mixed bag of players. And again, one of the guys, one of the transfers, you know, I discussed. Here's the deal. There are some issues within the program. You know, there does seem like there's inexperience and such. But the same player also kind of said, throughout the middle part of the season, though, I saw some changes. There were some changes and motions to get done, like movements to try to be better or schedule things a little bit tighter on that side of it. Now, again, another player I talked to was like, listen, I mean, Ed's done some good things. He has. He's done some great things. Ed's connections allowed for that, for the practice field and the turf and all that stuff, for the turf field. Getting the new turf there. I mean, his connections were there, and this player's like, hey, those are all great things. But then again, this player, a lot of the players I've talked to, I haven't talked to anybody about the financial aid process. None of them that I've discussed with have mentioned the financial aid process, that they were going through any of that, and they didn't talk to any players about that. So how big was it? I don't know. Again, there's 100 players. So do they all discuss that kind of stuff? Not quite sure. But listen, I have dealt with UNC Athletic Director Darren Dunn for several years now. I mean, we work together. So obviously this is a weird thing because I'm a radio show host. I also know that, you know, we have an obligation to work. We do work with UNC. We do broadcast their games. We do promote the Bears and have a blast doing it. I've loved our connection with the Bears ever since I started working at KFK back in 2008, if you can believe it. So when these stories come up, we have to both be examining the stories, making sure we're being fair. We did have Jaden Watson Fisher on the program who wrote the story on Monday, and I thought that was a fair interview. And I thought with Darren and Ed, it was a fair interview as well. I'd asked them both, hey, Darren, take us through the financial aid process. Because, again, the way the article was made it sound, or at least the quote made it all sound, was that, you know, Ed can just go beep, boop, bop, and lower the percentages of a scholarship. And again, at the FBS level, it's much different. It's all or nothing. There's no 50%. There's no rising and lowering. Now, again, per the FCS rules, as far as how to move financial aid up and down, it can only be moved up. You know, percentages can only be decreased or increased or what have you. Because of grade point average, conduct detrimental to the team. Those are the rules outlined to the student athletes. And then a written form is then sent to these players, and then the player does have an opportunity to appeal, which some of my insiders have told me that a lot of times the players win those appeals. So again, that part is, there's so much to it. And that's the biggest part. The rest of this stuff, I'm not saying it's not bad. I mean, the rest of the stuff is kind of quirky. There's a lot of weird things that some of these players have said, or, you know, as far as the buy-in and investment and all that. But then again, you have players on the team. David Hogue, as Ed McCaffrey mentioned, that guy is a hell of a football player. and a damn good head on his shoulders. I will say, I met him in person at the GOAT, and he's an amazing guy, and he loves this program. So there are two sides to this story, no question about it. If you take the financial aid part of this story out, it does feel like more or less like there are some players that didn't like the environment, and there are some players that are fine with the environment. And that part of it is very much the nature of college football now. Do I think that this story, I was asked earlier if this story is going to be as serious as we first thought on Saturday, if it's going to blow over. My gut honestly tells me that this story is going to blow over. That, again, the financial aid process, as Darren Dunn alluded to, they would be digging into it. They will be making sure that, hey, could there have been a clerical error? Again, in this day and age, I don't think you take chances and try to screw somebody over, right? I mean, so if worst case scenario, there's a clerical error, maybe. But again, as we progress more through this story, my gut tells me it might blow over. 49 minutes after the hour. The Brian Flores story blowing over, I don't think that's coming anytime soon. But we will continue to follow it. All right, we're going to take a short break. We'll get to what's on TV tonight when we come back. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, live from my basement on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
If you want nuggets, insights, then you want the Hull Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Miles Blumhart, sports editor at the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Fifty-four minutes after the hour. Wow, what a show. What a crazy show. Great interviews today. We had UNC Athletic Director Darren Dunn on, Ed McCaffrey on. We talked to Mark Johnson, as we typically do on Wednesdays, about the Buffs signing day. I didn't even get a chance to get into CSU's signing day and kind of what the theme there. We know the first portion of their day was, or the first portion of signing period, was really getting offensive players. A lot of good wide receivers in that mix, or at least a lot of prospective good wide receivers on that side. I know defensive back was the next step. Now that they got their defensive coordinator and Freddie Banks on the roster, so I know that they wanted to start looking at more defensive players. Certainly, a lot of defensive backs, and that excites me, man. I love good defensive back play, and I'm excited. I did reach out. We'll try to see if we can get Jay Norvell on the program, as well as Carl Durrell with the CU Buffs, to talk about their signing day and what their takeaways are from these classes. It's always an exciting time. Will they all work out? No. Will some of them be great? Probably. That's going to do it for us. The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary. 3 o'clock, he'll get you going on your way home. If you are out and about, Brian will help you out. That'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.